You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to introduce our speaker this morning. He is a candidate for pastor, Michael Ledzinski. Did I say it right?
It's an old Irish name. I'm kidding. It's good to be here. Bless you all. Thank you for coming. Boy, it's Christmas time. Don't you love this time of year? Are you excited? Are you waiting for gifts this year? Are you ready for Christmas? No. How many men are ready? Raise your hand. One. It's pretty typical. We'll be doing the last minute chase. And what are we going to do? We're going to go out and we're going to buy gifts.
You know, there's all kinds of gifts.
Tall ones, big ones, little ones, skinny ones, fat ones, thin ones. And they're all piled up underneath the tree. But there's one gift that you can give, and you can give it for free. And it doesn't cost you anything. And it's the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. I like what the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He calls it the unspeakable gift. That was around AD 45 that he wrote to the Corinthian church. If you want to turn over there in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 9:15. It'll take me a little bit. I'm kind of out of practice, so just give me a little time and we'll get there. Here we go, 9:15. It says, "Thank be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's so good you can't say it in words. It's a gift that lasts forever. It's a gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. We'll all be gone, and we'll all be in eternity, and the gift of eternal life will still be given." The Word of God, it says, endures forever. Have you ever comprehended that, forever? You know, there's a song that talks about 10,000 years. And really, the first 10,000 years, it also says 10,000 times 10,000 years. Can you imagine getting through the first 10,000 years? In glory, in heaven. And then 10,000 times 10,000? You know, somebody used this illustration once about eternity. They said if you took a seagull and had him go to the west coast and pick up a grain of sand and fly to the east coast and drop that grain of sand and exchange the sand from the east coast to the west coast, that would not even be the start of eternity. Mind-boggling, isn't it? But I want to talk to you a little bit more about this unspeakable gift. I want to just read something. A couple of commentaries from Paul. Wesley's notes for 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "His unspeakable gift, his outward and inward blessings, the number and excellence of which cannot be uttered." So glorious, so special that you can't put it into words. How do you describe eternal life? How do you describe eternity? How do you describe forever? People's Bible notes for 2 Corinthians 9:15. It says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." The Corinthians were asked to give. They were cited to the example of Christ in 2 Corinthians 8:9. But now Paul burst out in thanksgiving to God for his gift, which language cannot describe, Jesus Christ and his gospel. It was that gift which broken down the old enmity and bound together Jew and Gentile in love, so that Jewish Christians would pray, thank God for and long for Gentile Christians like those in were in Corinth. If you will, turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Here's another book written 740 years to 650 years B.C. And this talks about and prophesies the coming of the Savior. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's forever. That's my commentary. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But Isaiah prophesied this 700 some years before the birth of Christ, said that the king was coming, the Messiah was coming, and it was a gift. It says that, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Wow. God gave mankind the greatest gift he could ever receive. The question is, what are you going to do with that gift? Are you going to open it? You know, every Christmas, they're piled under the tree, and you wait till the big day, and the sun comes up, and the kids come out, and they all run for their gifts under the tree. Well, you haven't unwrapped that gift, don't you? You have to open it up to see what's inside. Have you done that with the gift of God? Have you opened up your gift? It's free. John 3:16. If you want, turn over there. You guys should all know this scripture. If you're a believer, you should have this in your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did he do? He gave his only begotten Son. He gave a gift to mankind, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. The whole key to all of life is summed up in that scripture. You get everlasting life. He gave you that gift. He said, here it is. Here's my son. So every Christmas, we should be thinking how God loved us so much that he really crucified his son for us. The son that he loved. The son that he cherished. The son that he sent here as a gift for all of us. Wow. Could you give up your son? Fathers? Mothers? And have him sacrificed on a tree? You know, it wasn't the gift under the tree, it was the gift on the tree. Could you go through the suffering that he went through? Could you watch your son suffer like that? He had to, for that gift of everlasting life. I want to go on here. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't send his Son to condemn you. He sent his Son to love you. No matter what, no matter how you acted, no matter how you lived, no matter what you did wrong, he still loved you. That's the gospel. That's the real gospel. He forgave you. He died. He took all your sins to Calvary. And he came as a baby, as a child, as a gift to mankind. Go back up to verse 15. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, there's the gift, eternal life. You accept my Son, and you get to live forever. Now, do we live forever down on this earth? No. But our spirit man, our inner man, goes to be with him. But you know, there's even a key to that. How do you get there? How do you open that gift? And I'm getting ahead of myself. So I want to back up a little bit, but think about that. And let's go over to Romans 6:23. I can probably quote it to you, but I want to read it to you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, we see it's the gift of God. James 1:17. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. Boy, there's something to think about. Where did the bad gifts come from? I was telling the girls, I got ready to... Yesterday, I cleaned my truck all out, washed it, you know, wanted to look good. We get up this morning, I start the car, we go out to it, and the flat tire light's on. That's not a good gift. I'd really call that a devil, is what I'd call it. Anyway, but really it's just natural circumstance, right? It's just surprising how it happens on the morning that you have to go do things for God. So every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You know, he doesn't wear out. He doesn't fade away. He lasts forever. Wow. You know, we get so hung up on the gifts under the tree. And the best thing we can give somebody is the gift of eternal life. Wow. And every one of you can do that by just sharing the Christmas story with somebody. I used to do late night Christmases. Leave mom and dad's about 10 o'clock at night. After the family got together, and I'd go out to the truck stops. You know why? The lonely people are out there. They're out there by themselves. They don't have any place to go. And so you get an opportunity to share the gospel, to share the good news that you can live forever, that you can find the key to life, and you can have a relationship with God that's real. You know, I always say this. God doesn't want to have a religion with you.
He wants to have a relationship with you. That's why he sent his son. Remember, Judaism, they had a religion with them. Because really, it was very limited to relationship at that time.
Once Jesus went to the cross,
he made it available for every man, woman, and child. Really, before that, you had to be a Jew.
You had to be Jewish born. Let's look at Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't do it on your own. It is the gift of God. 4:10. This is the woman at the well. I like what she says here, or what Jesus says to her. John chapter 4, verse 10.
Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. But he says to her, if thou knewest the gift of God. If you knew that, you would know this.
So my question is, are you in the same shape as the woman at the well? Where he'd say to you, if you knew the gift of God? Do you really know him? Do you really have a relationship with him? Have you opened your gift? Wow. The one gift that will satisfy all the thirst of mankind.
The one gift that's the key to all of life.
I don't even like to refer to it this way, but I always have these thoughts, and it's from way back in my life.
I think it was the Beatles album. I think it was the Magical Mystery Tour. But it's like... No laughing back there. It's like a fairy tale. And all the fairy tale stories, there was always a key. And there's a key that opens up the Word of God. And until you find that key, that book is like dull, boring. You can't understand it. But once you unravel that and open up that gift, all of a sudden you go, I see it! And for joy of what you have to go share it with somebody else. Because you finally connected.
You know, you wondered, what is life all about? Why am I here? What am I doing? How should I do life?
And all of a sudden, you turn the key. It's just like the car. You're not going anywhere until you put that key in the ignition and start it.
It's the same thing with the things of God. Until you put the key in the ignition and start it, you're not going nowhere with them. You're going to have a religion with them instead of a relationship.
And he made that relationship available to every man, woman, and child.
And it's free. And it's the greatest gift
you can ever receive.
Wow!
I mean, come on. Eternal life forever. You can't buy it. You know? You can't steal it. You can't... You know, find it sometimes unless you're searching with all your heart. It says, when you search for me with all your heart, then you shall find me. Wow. Did you find him? Did you open your gift? Or is that gift going to sit under the tree forever and you never open it? And then you step out in eternity
and you stand face to face with God
and he says, I sent them.
I told you.
I offered you the gift. But you never done that.
And you spend eternity in hell. Do they still preach hell? You know, someplace hell's the wrong thing to talk about in the church world anymore. Let's go to how do we unwrap the gift? How about that? John chapter 3 again. You guys all know this story? Nicodemus?
He was one of the religious dudes, right? A ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus at night.
Actually, I guess I'll read it, huh?
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus. I'm in John chapter 3, verse 1. By night, now in verse 2, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him,
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
So unless you do this, you can't see it.
When you do it, you see it.
You know, I was a good Catholic. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but that might be lying. I was raised a good Catholic boy. Well, I was an altar boy, so I was good for a while. I came home with the gospel at 13. Got saved in the park.
It was early 70s. They called it the Jesus Freak Movement.
Came home, told my mom and dad what I experienced.
Knew it was real.
They said, that's a cult. Stay away from it. So they kind of had a wet blanket party for me.
And it really put that fire right out.
I knew it was real. I mean, as soon as I prayed, it was like, boom, that's it. And I went totally the other direction for years.
See, I had a religion, but I didn't know him.
And it really kind of messed with my head because they were sending me to Catholic school, Catholic church, and I come home and start talking about Jesus, and they're like, everybody gets all we go.
Let's read on here. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, no, of course he can't. That's my answer. Look at Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Right there, being born of water is natural childbirth. And of the Spirit, that's the new birth, that's being born again. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and he explains it right there, Jesus does. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
Ye must. That's like a command from heaven. You want to get in? You want to see it? You want eternal life? You must do this. And sometimes we feel like, well, he's kind of bossy. Well, listen, do you want to live forever in eternity with him?
Do you want to have a relationship that's alive with Him? Do you really want to know Him? Do you want to open the gift? Or do you want to just leave it sitting on the shelf? Are you familiar with Romans 10, 9, and 10? Let's go over there. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Here's part of the key. You know? How can I say it? John 3, 3 and 3, 7 is the key. This is how you turn it in the ignition. Romans 10, 9, and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in other words, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. You know, I like Romans 10, 13, because that makes it a whole lot easier. There's really no religion in it. Romans 10, 13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Can I run down there? Shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how simple it is. See, and we've made it so hard because we think it has to be a certain way. But we have these religious ideas or these religious traditions. And tradition is good and great. But see, if we hinder the gospel with our tradition, then what have we accomplished? So simple. Everything Jesus taught was made simple so that everyone could understand it. You know, for God so loved the world, He loved the world. He made a simple message for the world. I like Philippians 3:10. I think that'll be my last scripture. It says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. But that I may know Him. Do you want to know Him? Then this Christmas, why don't you open your gift? Unwrap all of it and meet the master. And have an experience with God. You know, think about this. The breadth, the width, the height, and the depth. God. It's forever. I mean, just look at this book. It's full of the words of eternal life. You know, a Bible gift can change somebody's life. You can actually give somebody a Bible, all wrapped up for Christmas, and give them the keys. And if they'll follow the keys, they'll follow the keys, they'll receive eternal life. So, what's stopping you from opening your gift? Uh-oh. I did this.
She wrapped this morning and made it beautiful. And I have my big feet all over it down here. So Dennis, here's the gift. I want you to open it.
Come on, act like you're excited about it. Yeah, just open it. Well, it kind of is a prop, so you have to give it back later.
What is it?
A Bible. Wow.
What's in there? Everlasting life.
The keys to it. Do we worship the book?
No. We worship the Creator.
66 different books.
33 different authors. A perfect piece of literature. It's perfect. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
You know, I dare say this, and I don't know that I should say it here, but I'm one of them guys, I'm going to say it anyway.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. She's going, come on.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm telling my brain, come on, I have that thought.
It's the everlasting Word of God. Never fails to live, never goes away, never passes. And we have the key. What are we going to do with it?
Quick questions. What are you going to do with your gift? There's all kinds of gifts from God. There's the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's the gift of grace. There's the gift of righteousness. There's the gift of salvation. There's ministry gifts. There's the gifts of the Spirit.
Maybe we need to believe God this Christmas for some of those gifts just to operate in our lives. Maybe we need to ask Him for those kind of gifts instead of them other kind of gifts. And at the same point in time, God's not opposed to you guys having stuff. You're His children. You're King's kids. He wants you to have the blessings. He don't want the blessings to have you. That's the difference.
So what will you do this Christmas? What will you do about eternal life? You know, I don't know who's saved, who's unsaved. You know how your relationship with God is. Do you just want to go deeper?
You know, that's a gift of God, to just walk closer with Him. The Bible says, you know, ask. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. That's all about you. Let me back up. John 15:7. Ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto who? You.
So it's up to us. All we have to do is unwrap our gifts. Some of you maybe, you know, have gifts that have set idle. Maybe you just want to have a real common sense talk with the Creator. And say, Lord, I've set some things on the shelf. Help me reopen them. Show me what my gifts are. Maybe we can go this route. How about if we just kind of unwrap our gift right now? Let's just pray this way. So pray right along with me. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you give me eternal life. I repent of all my sins. I ask that you unwrap the gifts within me, that I might clearly see what's most important this Christmas. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. With that, we'll go ahead and close.